In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The first gospel that we just heard begins with these words. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. One of the things that the fathers point out here is that Christ observed the Sabbath. He observed the purpose of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was established so that in one day in seven, the Israelites would rest from their labors, but would also spend their time in prayer and in hearing the instruction about the scriptures and their faith. And so he was in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he was teaching. And so that tells us how important it is for us to do the same thing. We should be in church on Sundays. We should be in church dedicating ourselves to prayer, beginning, of course, according to Jewish reckoning of time, on the eve and to the sunset of the next day. So on Saturday evening, we should be in church at vigil. We should be preparing by prayer, along with the prayers of the church, preparing for communion by doing the pre-communion prayers, coming to church, coming to Sunday school, coming, attending the entire service, and attentively listening to the sermon. Then when you get home, reflecting on that, spending some more time maybe in spiritual reading before the day begins to set with the sunset. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. According to the fathers, this was not an ordinary illness. When it talks about a spirit of infirmity, this was one that was brought about by her sin. St. Cyril of Alexandria says that Satan often receives authority over certain persons who have fallen to sins and have grown lax in their efforts towards piety. Whomever he gets into his power, he may involve in bodily disease, since he delights in punishment and is merciless. That's not to say, of course, that all sickness is brought about by demonic activity. Probably most of them are not. But in this case, at least, it was a result of her sin, and there was demonic activity that was associated with it. And being bowed over, the fathers point out that she was not able to look to heaven, but her head was always turned towards the earth. So she was focused on the things of the earth. But nevertheless, even this woman was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and she, despite her infirmity, would make the effort to come to the synagogue, because despite whatever sin she may have been guilty of, she had hope that one day God would free her from infirmity. So she was coming to church because she wanted to be healed. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Christ, having mercy on her, healed her, laying his hands on her, so that we could see that he was God in the flesh. He didn't just appear to be God, and so he physically touched her to show that his body was also endued with the power of God. He was the God-man. And then the demon, no longer able to bind this woman, the fathers say, went to bind the ruler of the synagogue with envy and spiritual blindness, because he sees this miracle, and he doesn't deny that it's a miracle, but yet he has this reaction. It says, the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and then therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." So he's focused only on the outward letter of the law, and he has indignation in the face of this miracle, and he says, there are 6 other days that you could come and be healed by God, but not on the Sabbath day. And it didn't occur to him that perhaps that if God was working this miracle through Christ, that maybe Christ knew what he was doing, that it was somehow okay. And then Christ answered him by pointing to him the exceptions to the prohibitions on the Sabbath day that every Jew practically observed, because most Jews at that time had animals that they had to take care of. Says, the Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from his stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who saveth bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. First off, as I said, we should be diligent to avail ourselves of what the Sabbath actually means spiritually. It's a time of prayer, it's a time of reflection, it's a time for us to focus on the things of God. But we also have to understand that while the rules of the church has rules, there are canons, there are traditions that tell us what we should do and what we should not do. Those are all established for our spiritual good. But we shouldn't become like the Pharisees and become so focused on the letter of these rules that we don't understand that there are pastoral exceptions. Because there's always the possibility of economia being granted in certain areas. I mean, there are limits to that too, that you can't grant economia to do something that's inherently sinful, for example. But, for example, our tradition tells us that we should fast before we take communion. And that's certainly true. But on the other hand, if someone is elderly, infirm, if they have to take medications before they come to church, if they're going to keel over and die if they don't take their medications or if they don't eat something before the liturgy, we don't want people to suffer so that they can take communion. We certainly don't want people to endanger their health, and so there's economia that's granted. And there are many other areas in which economia can be granted by the church. And so we have to understand that it's not the rules are not made for the rules' sake, but all of these traditions are there for our salvation. And there are times when the circumstances warrant that for our salvation we do something that's contrary to the letter of the rules, but not contrary to the spirit. Also, we need to lay aside all the sins that bow us down to the earth, as did the spirit of infirmity to this woman, and we must raise up our hearts and minds to Christ, looking to him for grace and mercy, and he will loose us from every bond of the devil and heal our every infirmity.